Good morning, and welcome to this week's MTC Studio broadcast. My name is Dean Suzuki. I wanted to welcome you again this week to our studio broadcast. Today we'll be talking about advanced analytics, and I have a couple of my colleagues with us to join us today. But before we get started, a couple of logistical items. You should be seeing us through the video window. If you want to, you can maximize that window if you wanted to see clearer, a bigger view of the screen. Also, we'll be taking live Q&A throughout the process to be able to answer any questions you have throughout the process. And at the end, we'll open it up for interactive Q&A. But with that, I'd like to introduce a couple of my colleagues who will be joining us here today, Kevin Orbaker and Adam Rohrbeck. Welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us. In fact, Adam is joining us from New York. Thank you for joining us on the East Coast. And then Kevin's with me here in the studio. So maybe with Kevin, can you give a quick introduction to yourself, Kevin?
My name is Kevin Orbaker. I'm a technology specialist here at Microsoft, focusing on the data platform and advanced analytics. I'll be assisting with the Q&A today.
Thanks, Kevin. And then Adam, could you introduce yourself as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, everybody. My name is Adam Rohrbeck. I work for a Microsoft partner called Talon. And we do a lot of work closely with Microsoft building custom solutions on top of the platform all across the country.
Great. Thanks, guys. So, Adam, as we jump into this, can you explain what is advanced analytics? You know, I know a lot of our customers have a lot of data right now, and we know a little bit about BI, but how does BI and advanced analytics fit together?
Yeah. It's a really, really good question. So everybody's familiar with BI. We've been doing that for a few decades now, and all that data we've amassed, and we were able to see what happened, you know, last week, last month, last quarter, kind of compare the two, the what, where, when. Well, with advanced analytics, we're moving beyond that. We're moving into being able to answer questions like, why did that happen? And if we can answer why something happened, we're going to be able to ultimately predict when it might happen again or not. And, you know, depending on if it's a positive or negative thing, that may be something we want more of, or we want to try to, you know, stay away from. Gotcha. But there's a lot of opportunity to really transform business with advanced analytics today.
I know, you know, a lot of our customers, I deal with a lot of enterprise customers, and so is Kevin. You know, we're collecting a lot of data. What is the size of the opportunity of this? Is this something that really can move the needle on someone's bottom line?
Absolutely. So Microsoft did a study just last year, actually. They commissioned a research firm called IDC to take a look at this and answer this exact question that you're asking, which is how big is this opportunity? So IDC went to work. They did a bunch of surveys, did their research, and they put a $1.6 trillion number on basically the next 3 years, last year, and then the next 3 years for a total of 4 years. There's just a tremendous amount of opportunity. If you think about any one of us grabs a point of a percent of that number, and it's a significant impact.
Gotcha. You know, how does that maybe translate into some maybe real world case studies that you've worked with?
Yeah, let's take a look at this number. So on this slide, on the right-hand side, you can see, you know, what we can break the $1.6 trillion down into. So the biggest chunk of it, almost 0.7 of that 1.6, is productivity. You know, we're all accustomed to thinking about technology as a productivity enabler. When we now combine all of this data science and advanced analytics capability into the mix, we've got systems and software and devices that are becoming smarter and are truly able to do more of the heavy lifting. And so that's a huge chunk of it. Right below that, you know, at about $500 million is operations. So anytime within your company that you've got, you know, a large team of people and you've got to, you know, try to allocate the time and where they spend their time as efficiently as possible, you've got an operations opportunity. We actually have an example in a little bit to kind of talk through how a utility company took advantage of that. And then the last two, innovations, you know, when you're able to take innovative and technology in general and create new things with it, things that weren't possible a few years ago, that kind of falls into that bucket. And that's a pretty respectable, you know, almost $250 billion. And then the last piece is really the customer facing side. So a lot to do with pricing of your products and services. That also includes things like promotions and discounts. You know, can we get the same amount of sales by not maybe giving as many discounts away? You know, could we have, you know, intrigued the customer to make a purchase with us by not giving them 20% off? You know, would they have been fine with 15% off or even 5%? You know, whatever it takes, all that is, those answers are potentially buried in the data.
Wow, that's a 1.6 trillion. That's a big number. So maybe how have you worked with our customers? Maybe translate that maybe some real world case studies or how you've done that.
Yeah. Let's dive in because I want to make this talk as practical as possible. So just to give everybody kind of some illustrations, the first one here, the client was a utility. So all of us have utilities around our homes. In our case, a water utility, but this could apply to an electrical utility as well. And the group that we were working with was charged with essentially making more money for the utility. And so if you think about that, it's kind of a perplexing question. I mean, you're a utility, you've got so many customers, you've got so many power or water lines, so how do you possibly make more money? Well, one of the areas they wanted to look at is potentially, you know, are people potentially defrauding us, or are they stealing water? And so if you think about, you know, what you need to do to kind of put this solution together, you've got water meters, streaming data every hour. So this utility had 1 million customers. So we're talking about, you know, easily 24 million rows of data coming in. So when you think about it in this space, you hear the word big data quite a bit. You know, here you got a real example of data getting really big, really, really fast. And then as that data streams in, now we're starting to look at what's inside of that data. So let me go to the next slide here and show you how this was kind of put together, all on the Microsoft Azure cloud platform. I'm going to walk you through kind of a broader introduction to Azure in a little bit, but just to kind of, you know, stay contextual with the solution here. On the left-hand side, we've got water meters sending up data, like again, I said, every hour. And we've got a capability up in Azure called Azure Event Hubs that are receiving that data. Once we receive that data, we can quickly write it down into blob storage, although there's other storage modes inside of Azure that we'll talk about in a little bit. But as it's actually being written down, we can start looking at that data through something called Azure Stream Analytics. And so here we're able to see, are things trending higher or lower right out of the gate? And that's valuable, not just in the scenario that we're talking about here, where we want to see if people are maybe stealing water, but also in a scenario where, you know, to maintain good customer service, you may want to know that all of a sudden you stop getting readings from a meter. Maybe the meter went down, you know, it's just a maintenance issue and it needs to be replaced. So that's good insight for both our scenario as well as a customer service scenario. In the next pillar there, the second column, we're moving our data and we now captured it out in up in the blob store, up in the cloud, and now we can begin that data science process, the reason we're here to talk about advanced analytics. So Microsoft has a tool called Azure Machine Learning up on the cloud. This is a completely web-based service, so for those of you that have done data science in the past with some of the packages, software packages, from some of Microsoft's competitors, you know, they're usually client tools that get installed on your workstation and you work with your data there. Well, here is a completely 100% cloud offering. You access it from a web browser, so you basically can get to your work really wherever you are. And in a demo, we'll show you kind of a closer look at this, but this is where your data scientist or your data science partner would work to kind of construct the model that's going to tell us what, you know, who potentially is in this case stealing water from us. The next pillar there, the third column over, you've got the Azure Machine Learning API service. So the beauty of this, and because everything is being done in the cloud and it's all web-based, is now when we're done at the end of this, we want to make that information accessible to some downstream systems. And those could be anything from a report or a dashboard. And Microsoft has a great reporting dashboarding solution called Power BI that we'll show in a little while. But you can also think about this being available from custom applications, third-party applications, or mobile applications that you may be writing within your organization. So in our story here, it's a really good example because we've got the data, we've got the data science process, we've uncovered who potentially may be defrauding us, but now we've got to get that money back, right, to complete the business life cycle here. And so the last step is to really dispatch field agents. You know, you've got to be able to get your guys into a truck, have them go out, take a look at the meter, see, you know, is it a maintenance issue or has it really been tampered with? If it's been tampered with, they've got to document it. They take photos and ultimately that's going to result in a new bill going out to the customer. And you know, that is that last piece is really important in this whole scheme, because otherwise it's just technologists having fun with new technical tools. But when we can finally make that last mile connection down to the business users, and here we are dispatching field agents, you know, guys with hard hats to drive out in their truck and actually complete the loop so that the money gets recovered, that's the important piece. And if you think about that, you know, what we advise customers to do is strive to make the analytics invisible. And in this case, you know, those guys that are the field agents, they're not thinking about what kind of complex processing and analytics and algorithms went into producing the recommendation that they should go out and review this customer's meter. They never even think about that. So the analytics really, like they say, good design is invisible. In this case, the analytics is invisible.
Wow, that's really exciting, Adam. So what is the net result here? So you help this customer really take that data, all these meters, sending in, you know, millions of rows of data into them. What was the end result? How did that help them?
Well, it's clear, you know, more revenue. The goal of that group that we were working with was achieved. You know, they were able to generate more revenue for the utility.
Awesome.
So it's a very good top line example.
Exactly. Oh, exciting. What's this next example you've got?
Yeah. So a little bit different here. If you think about analytics, most of us, you know, tend to gravitate towards data that is, you know, what we could call in the industry structured data. So our systems are recording something. And, you know, in the past example with the water utility, you're talking about, you know, meter readings. So it's a number every hour coming in, right? In this example, I want to kind of highlight, you know, and have people take away from the talk today, the idea that the opportunities may lie not in data that's in our database or data that we're collecting like from the water meters, but data that's in documents, emails, Excel files, Word files, whatever it may be. And this example is one from a client that was in the recruiting industry. So this particular client of ours, their main goal is to help clients hire very, very high profile executives and board members, and so you're looking for that perfect fit, and you really have the time and the energy to spend on finding the perfect person. But without analytics, it's a very, you know, kind of traditional industry that's where business has been done the same way for decades. The way it works is your client comes, you know, their client comes to them and says, hey, I want you to fill this senior vice president position. Here's what we think, you know, it takes. Here's what the job description is. And then the firm's job is to basically look through their pile of resumes that they have collected over the decades they've been in business and find, you know, the ideal candidate, right, that might be a good fit for their client. But the real process is not finding, you know, ultimately you want to end up with the one person, but the ultimate hire isn't just, you know, a binary decision, hey, this is the number one guy we recommend. It's actually, hey, here's five people that we think you should take a look at. And with analytics, what they're able to do is start with a much bigger list. So where before, you know, let's say Joe is their consultant. Joe gets the work assigned to him. He's finding and he's thinking about, who does Joe know? Where are my resumes? And he goes down the hall and he asks his colleagues and say, hey, who do you guys think would be good for this? And they start with a list of maybe 10 or 20 people. But with analytics, we can really expand that list to maybe 60 people. And what's good about that is people might come up on that list that nobody else would have ever thought of. And so the way this works from a technical perspective is you've got data that's in the position spec for the particular job that's being filled. And then you've got that pile of resumes that are sitting out there. And all of that is text. And within that text is the experience. On the one hand side with the position spec, you've got the experience that's necessary to be successful in that job. And on the other hand, in the resumes, you've got all of the experience that's necessary to, or that the individual whose resume it is, has this amassed inside of their career. So with text analytics is just another form of advanced analytics. We're able to take those documents, we're able to crunch them, we're able to extract entities and meaning and things like that. Basically, it's natural language processing at work, taking and once we pull all that out, then in the third column here where you see Azure Search, that's another key capability of Azure. And we're all familiar with search, but most people, when they think of advanced analytics, search is probably not the first technology that comes to mind. But what we're doing here, by extracting the meaning out of those documents, we're actually making search smarter. So advanced analytics coupled with search, you have a smarter search. And so then at the end of it, the stack looks the same. You've got devices, applications, dashboards, wherever you want to sort of make and make this data available and surface it to your end users. You've got that ability, again, because everything in the cloud, it has an API that you can access. And so then you can build your mobile applications, you can build your desktop applications, anything really you can dream of as an end user interface, and surface this information through there.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. So you showed us one example, which is, I guess, a big buzzword right now is something called Internet of Things, where we're actually connecting devices, which are producing a lot of data, and being able to real time analyze that data, put together some real time library learning behind it, use we'll call it Azure machine learning to crunch that, where you've applied some algorithms to pilot some use cases there. And the second case was really nice because you're using actually unstructured data, textual data, and resumes in this case, extracting and maybe able to make decisions on that. That's really exciting. So, and in fact, I wanted to plug here. Next in October, we'll have a full series on Internet of Things, so we're going deeper dive into that. But this is great. Can you maybe drive into maybe how this looks, maybe from the Azure side?
Yeah, you know, since we have some time, I'd like to actually introduce people to Azure. And for those of you on the webcast that are familiar with Azure, you know, bear with us. But we have conversations all the time where we mention a specific Azure product. Or capability, and people say, hold on a second, back up. I've never heard of this. So for those of you that aren't familiar, I pulled up my web browser, and I'm basically at azure.microsoft.com. So you can go there right after the webcast. You'll see that you can immediately start a free trial of Azure. There's also other ways, if you've got MSDN, for example, to get at a similar ongoing free trial. But I want to open up this products. Menu, and you can just kind of see by the size of this menu, the scale of the capabilities that are out here on the Azure cloud. So web and mobile, this enables you to build a lot of those end interfaces that we were talking about. So whether it's the application, the web application, the dashboard, or the mobile application, you've got a whole host of capabilities in here to enable you to do that. All the way down through, if you see at the bottom, notification hubs. What that's doing is, if you've got mobile devices, you know, all of us are used to getting alerts on our mobile devices, those notifications. You can actually, with the Azure cloud, build mobile apps that have that same capability. The next one down, data and storage, as this starts to get a little bit more closer to the topic of our session here. So these are all the different types of data and storage capabilities out on the Azure cloud. So we talked a little bit about blob storage. Our other example, leverage SQL, that's essentially SQL Server running in the cloud without you having to maintain it from a DBA perspective. And you see search is down there, and Azure Data Warehouse is also listed. Then we move into analytics. So machine learning was a key capability. We're going to dive into that in a second. But you see some of the other capabilities. So HD Insight is basically Hadoop in the cloud. So you don't have to provision, you know, your own farm of Hadoop servers and deal with the complexity and pain of that. You basically just spin up clusters in just a few keystrokes and few minutes. Stream analytics in the middle there, we mentioned we were using that for the utility solution. And then you've got other things. Data Factory is essentially an ETL or ELT tool up in the cloud, so you can move data around. And then Data Catalog, the last one there, is a pretty interesting offering in that essentially how the name just sounds, a catalog of all your different data sources. They can be data that your company has on-premise or in the cloud, all in one easy to use place where end users, analysts, other people that want to consume and actually do some of their own analytics can go and search. They can even, you know, collaboratively add more information about the data sources, how they're using it. So it kind of builds itself over time. And then, you know, just going down the list, it's not really related to our topics today, but, you know, Internet of Things, those event hubs, stream analytics, networking. So this is all the connectivity between your data center and Microsoft's data centers where the Azure cloud is running. And all of that is you can have dedicated connections, which are really fast connections to the Azure cloud where traffic never even goes out on the internet. So it's very, very secure. Media category. So you've got the ability to stream heck, I don't know if anybody or everybody realizes this, but the Winter Olympics that NBC was broadcasting a couple winters ago were all streamed off of the Azure cloud. So you can see the kind of scale and adoption that this has gotten. And then obviously integration is important if you've got, you know, systems that are on-premise out in the cloud. Microsoft is unique in this case, right? If you think about Amazon, Amazon is 100% cloud. Microsoft, because their history is on-premise enterprise software, and now it has a cloud capability, you have a hybrid scenario. You can keep things on-prem or you can move them out to the cloud. You can move them back and forth. It's a really good place to be. And then lastly, the identity and access management. This is really cool, especially for organizations that really are conscious of security. That bottom one there, multi-factor authentication. You can build a mobile app with all the capabilities we were talking about here before. You can add mobile multi-factor authentication so that you sign in to the application that you've just built. Your user is actually not only going to get a username and password they have to type in, but once they type that in successfully, they're going to get a call on their phone and say, hey, this is the application calling. Please enter your PIN code. So it's an extra layer as an example of security that you can absolutely be sure that the user logging in is the right one. I'm going to go up here to analytics because you know, we were talking a lot about machine learning, and so that way when you guys at home go try this and visit the website, if you go into analytics and click on machine learning, once this page loads, you've got a whole host of things you can explore here. But at the bottom, this button called Machine Learning Gallery. I'm going to click on that. And I want you to remember this because this is a site where you can kind of explore some of the capabilities. And when you look at this, you really think, wow, the technology has come a long way. I mean, these are algorithms that Microsoft Research, Microsoft partners, you know, and even some customers have developed and are publishing through the gallery to enable, you know, others to get started and kind of not reinvent the wheel. But if you look at this, you know, as it's kind of scrolling through, you know, anomaly detection, you've got sentiment analysis, you've got APIs that can recognize, you know, faces and speech and things like that, make and look at, you know, recommendations. It's really, you know, a complex, you know, behind the scenes, you're talking statistics and deep sort of data science and deep math really, really quickly. But if you look at this at kind of the top level, I mean, it's complex stuff that's packaged up and presented to us in a very, very easy to digest way. So I'm going to dive into Azure Machine Learning a little bit deeper here. So beyond the gallery, there's a button at the top there called Studio. And like I mentioned before, Azure Machine Learning is essentially all 100% web-based. So inside of this Studio, I've got the ability and buttons over here on the left-hand side to see all of my experiments. And I've got this Twitter sentiment analysis experiment open right now that we're going to talk about in a second. But I also have access to Notebook, which is where my data scientists or my data science partner can keep their Python or R language scripts. This is the language du jour these days of data science. It does all the kind of the heavy lifting behind these models that we build. We've got access to all our different data sources. So, you know, we gave you a couple examples where we loaded data up into SQL Azure or into Blob Storage. We can access that here inside of Azure ML and then start to perform analytics on top of it. And then once our models are done, we've got those that then they're able to be published out via those APIs that we discussed. So just kind of, you know, zooming out here a little bit, you can see that this is a very visual way to look at a analytics package. In this case, we're taking raw Twitter data. There's a couple of steps here to kind of clean it up and zoom back in just so you can see it. The first R script is essentially doing that. It's just stripping out the nonsense inside of a tweet, which you can kind of guess is fairly common. And then doing some of the analytics around basically converting the text and studying it and seeing how often things appear and where they appear and kind of the relationship between that. And as you expect, you know, for those of you familiar with data science, you'll know this, but for those of you not, the way it works is you take your data, you split out, say, 80% of it, you train the model on that. So you're basically saying, hey, this is what historically has happened, learn from this. Then we save the other 20%, we pass it down the right-hand side of the screen here, and we then score our model and say, hey, how well did you train? Let's see if the results were right. And then once all that's done, we're happy with the results, that's when we have our published model. And now anything new coming in, any new data coming in, any new tweets in this case coming in, we're able to say, hey, was this a happy tweet or was this a sad tweet? Are our customers happy with us and our services, or are they getting mad, and do we need to react to that? So that's Azure ML. And then the last piece I wanted to show you, I'm going to bring up another window in my browser here, still 100% in the browser. And this is Power BI. So Azure ML, that's the world of our data scientists, where they're going to be working, and our data science partner is going to be working. But at the end of all this, we want to get this thing out into the hands of normal people, right? The business people. And so we talked about applications. Well, as an example of an application, Microsoft Power BI, which is basically business analytics, self-service, designed to be so easy to use that really anybody can use it. So let me try to zoom in a little bit here to make this a little bit bigger. But at the top of this dashboard, and you can see all kinds of things I've got represented, you know, on this dashboard. I've got revenue. I'm looking at, you know, who's, this is a retail example, by the way. I'm looking at who's coming into our stores and how they're interacting with our products in the stores. I'm looking at, you know, sentiment over Twitter. But, you know, for example, at the top here is a text box, a search bar, basically. And so Microsoft's taken all that R&D that it's done to develop products like Bing, the search engine, and now focused that into the analytics world and said, hey, BI and BA could benefit from search capability. And so as you see, as I clicked in here, it's already recommending, hey, you know, search this data, and here's some common things you could search for. So, yeah, number of tweets. Well, I'll type in, and as you can see, as I'm typing, this thing's already figuring it out, not even waiting for me to get done. Number of tweets.
This is real time.
Oh, real time. Yeah, exactly. Off of the data that's in this model, and it's finishing my sentences for me, essentially. And you see now, number of tweets by date is what we typed in, and there's a nice little line chart drawn up of that data. We can look a little bit deeper at this. So beyond the dashboard is a handful of reports. So you've got full-on reporting capability. And I'm going to open up this particular book that had this data set in here. And so now here you have the ability to kind of interact with this a little bit more. I can click on negative in this filter here. And now there's a list of all my negative tweets. And you can see the actual tweets are listed here at the bottom. You know, somebody's upset because they broke their glass, the product they bought from us, and, you know, their dress ruined. You know, maybe that's our fault, maybe not, who knows, maybe we can make a better glass. But anyways, you see that all in one view. And this is just one tab of this whole workbook. So I could flip over to another tab here. And you see, in this case, visualizations of our online channel married up against our in-store channel. You know, so is there a correlation between traffic in the store versus traffic in the website? We can see that on a map geographically. And any one of these widgets, as you hover over it, you'd get a little pin icon. For example, you can see this one that my mouse is over. And that gives you the ability to pin the visual back to your dashboard. So a very, again, designed to be very, very easy to use tool set that in this case, it doesn't require a whole lot of training. You know, we're trying to make data accessible to as many people as possible. And to do that, you've got a very visual way of looking at it, for one. And two, search. Search goes a long way. Everybody's used to using search at home in their personal lives. And I think we've all become accustomed to how that works and how we can, you know, get at what we need by using search. And so here's search inside of analytics world.
Wow, that's impressive. That's pretty amazing. So just to summarize and recap it, you basically showed us the Azure system there, which is providing that Azure machine learning and all that basically built-in libraries of that people can draw from, right? I saw the text analytics one. We saw the facial recognition one. These are all pre-built models that we have already that our customers can take and get started with. Is that correct?
That's it. That's absolutely right. And inside the studio, I didn't really hit on it, but there's all a bunch of pre-built samples. There's all kinds of training material available. So it's really even the data science piece, you know, that requires, you know, some is reserved for more of the technical crowd. Even that's meant to be easy to kind of get into and not intimidating.
That's great. And we also have this library of called Power BI that can make that data visually appealing to the everyday person, right? So they can make those business decisions once you've processed them all through that machine learning library. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. You saw some of the sample visualizations in there. And, you know, one thing that I didn't mention that I think people are going to be excited about is all that is available in mobile devices as well. So there are native iPad, and iPhone, and Android apps that you know, essentially you're taking your insights with you wherever you go.
Great. Now, you know, we covered a couple of use cases, and this might not apply to everybody, but you know, for folks, you know, we just meant to this session just be an overview. But how would they get? Maybe what is the framework? How do you get started on this? We covered a couple scenarios here, but.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I've got a slide on that as well, or a couple of slides. One of the things we want people to take away from this talk is you know, we said it at the very beginning using the water company example. At the end of the day, we have an opportunity to transform the business, but we really want to make analytics invisible. We want to put all this insight into people's hands, but not have them be intimidated by what they're working with. It just seemed, you know, I'm in the same tool I've always been in, and now the tool is just smarter, you know, that type of thing. So how do we get there? We've got five steps in this framework. We actually, you know, looked out when we started to do this and said, you know, we really believe in that at last mile connection, that end user, and how do we make their life effective. And what we found is McKinsey and Company, the strategy consulting firm, has a similar view, and so this is largely based off of their framework. The first thing you got to do is identify the business value. That's you know, we've use the few examples that we've had on the show today, and they've all had, you know, defined business value. Our water utility client said, hey, we want to generate more revenue. So, you know, that's kind of the top one here, a top line example. You could also have bottom line examples. You know, how do I make my team more efficient? How do I optimize the time these people are spending? Risk is a huge one. Risk, you know, for insurance companies and asset management firms and investment firms, you know, those guys are embracing risk and trying to profit from it. But for the rest of us, every other industry, we're trying to avoid risk, and we got to understand it and mitigate as much as we can. And so data analytics is certainly a good place to understand your business world and kind of the forces, you know, that may be affecting it and mitigate some of that risk. And then the last one, pricing, you know, optimizing pricing so that you're not giving discounts away that maybe are unnecessary, and you know, you really are launching, you know, marketing campaigns that are effective and people respond to, but you know, you're not having to, you know, reduce the products, price of your products too much. So we've got a source of value, business value. Once we have that, then we start kind of going down the list of those and looking at the data ecosystem. And the thing that I want everybody to take away from this piece is there are different kinds of data, and hence the name ecosystem. So you know, if you think about history of IT, perhaps you've got different systems inside your organization. You know, say 10, maybe 15 years ago, companies like Salesforce come along and they kind of spearhead the march up into the cloud, or maybe what was used to be called software as a service. And so now we've got sources both on-premise and in the cloud. All of those, though, with the second bullet, collected versus syndicated, all those are data that we're collecting, right? We're doing activities, and our users or customers are interacting with these systems, and that data is being collected by us. But in this world where we really want to have as broad a data picture as we possibly can to get the best sort of analytic results that we possibly can, it's important to also look at possibly syndicated sources of data. So there are, in just about every industry, companies that have made a business out of taking data from you and your peers and syndicating it and then selling it back out. And this, you know, if it's available, gives you kind of a more 360 degree of view of your industry. You know, you may say, hey, our business is doing great. We're up 5% this year. But if you had industry data, you may find, oh, the industry is up 20%. You know, we're actually lagging a little bit and we need to get our act together. You wouldn't know that if you're just looking inwards at your own collected data. And then the last one. So we're talking about, you know, collecting data and the interactions that we're making, and our customers that are using the systems are making. But if you think about, you mentioned, Dean, Internet of Things, and if you think about all of the activity that's being recorded beyond just the I made a purchase, but I went into the store, a sensor went off and triggered, you know, a log that said, hey, Adam walked into the store. I walked up to a shelf and something's probably monitoring how much time I'm spending there and what products I'm looking at. I jump on the wireless network in the store and I start comparison shopping. They can track that and see, oh, he's looking at Amazon and he's looking at a cheaper price. You know, all that is that exhaust that is not just in our systems, you know, or even in the syndicated data, but is in all these other databases and sensors and et cetera that can now be collected. And if you think about, you know, we're focused on cloud and building this out in the cloud here. If you think about trying to put that kind of an ecosystem and capture that kind of data at that scale, the old way, which was, hey, let's build a database on-prem, it becomes cost prohibitive before you even load the first byte of data. In the cloud, you can start loading data. You can do a little experiment. It's going to cost you a few bucks. The old world, you would have had to go to your boss and say, hey, boss, I want to load terabytes or petabytes of data, and we need this million or $2 million appliance, and nobody's got an idea if your experiment's going to work. So there's a huge sort of economic benefit to doing this in the cloud, starting small and kind of building from there. Once you get your proof of concept done, you can start to show people and your boss's bosses, you know, what's possible, get them excited, and then you'll get your bigger budgets. So step three here is the models themselves. And, you know, obviously, if you're familiar with the space, you think, yeah, this is where the data scientists, the analytic professionals go to work, and they take all that data that we were talking about from the ecosystem, and they start crunching it, they start applying their statistical analysis to it, and they start, you know, putting some insights forward that we might have not known before. But the all that's done, and McKinsey coined this term called black box, all that's done is created a black box. And the reason it's a black box is because to the rest of us normal people that aren't data scientists, it is a black box. We have no idea what they did inside there, and it's way too complex for any of us to understand. So the recommendation here is to pair up your pros, your analytic pros, with the subject matter experts, the business domain experts, and create that smart box, which now together, you know, we've got a better chance of actually making this resonate with the business, because it's got essentially what you could call some street smarts in addition with the book smarts in there. The last step here, the last two really, number four, number five, is where we can actually begin the transformation. So we've got our model, we're excited. Now we start thinking about how do we put this in people's hands, and going back to that theme of making analytics invisible. Two high-level schools of thought here real quick. You know, everything that's going to be high volume, you want to gear yourself more towards automating the decisions. Let the machines make them. They're high volume, but they're typically low dollar. If the machine messes up once in a while, I mean, we can learn from that. We'll adjust it. But if it gets, it's not going to cost us, you know, a line of business if a bad decision is made by the machine. On the other hand, the high value but low volume scenarios, that's where we want to, you know, put the tools in front of the end users. That's probably, you know, more the use case of recovering, you know, revenue for our water utility. We've got to dispatch those field agents. That revenue is not going to come back by itself. And so we're looking at systems and looking at the tools that they use and how they get dispatched and incorporating that, you know, into their world there. And then the last step, you know, the point to take away from this one is the iterative nature of this. I mean, software development, this is a flavor of software development, and we've proven over the years that software development is best done in an agile and iterative way. Data science and analytics, same thing. You know, like I said before, if you're going to automate, for example, a high volume scenario, if the model is wrong in a certain fringe case or two, this is where it gets fixed, you know, because you're constantly looking to get feedback and make those adjustments. You're able to course correct and improve things. So hopefully that, you know, steps one through five, hopefully some good points here. This will be in the deck. The deck will be available. So for anybody feverishly taking notes, you can stop writing. We'll send this out, you know, after the presentation.
That's a very good point. We'll be posting this deck to the site that you registered at, so you can download it after this session. So what is the maybe some key areas that our customers can focus in on if they wanted to start this process?
Yeah, I wanted to summarize simply with just saying, you know, here's some areas where we see opportunity. The big one, we talked about this in one of our examples. You know, I put it at the top because I think most people thinking about this space don't think about text, don't think about the unstructured world enough. And some of it's, you know, where you just forget, like, or you've just given up. You know the data's trapped in a Word document, you know the data's trapped in an Excel file, you know, the users won't use anything else but those tools. And we've resigned to just saying, oh, it is the way it is. And we've done solutions for clients where we've actually change behavior. I mean, that's the transformative opportunity here, because human behavior is one of the most difficult things to change. But if I can extract the information out of the Excel files, if I can put it in front of the end users in a search interface where they look it up, and that interface is better than what they had in Excel, then, you know, today you won't rip the Excel out of their hands. They'll go screaming. But tomorrow, if they start using the new interface, potentially they forget about their Excel file, and you change that behavior. So that's the sort of transformative value here. Number two, customer activity. You know, the old saying, it's easier to keep and cheaper to keep your customers happy than to go get new ones. Certainly, you know, all those scenarios where how do we do better and more business with our existing customers? And we talked about in our framework slide, the one about the ecosystem, looking at the data exhaust, looking at potentially syndicated sources of data as a place to uncover, you know, more insight about customer activity than we have been able to do before. And cloud, again, makes that all possible, where on-prem it would have been difficult to store data at that scale. Then we've got an example here. What I mean by supplier notes and figures is really, you know, you think about the customers that you've done business with. You think about, on the other side, the supply chain and the suppliers you're working with, and what products are you able to take to market? I think people know who they're working with and who they're working for. But what about all those areas where it's people that you, in businesses that you haven't worked with before? And maybe that's trapped away, again, in some unstructured data sets that are out there, some greenfield opportunities for our businesses. You know, just want everybody to feel good about the idea that the technology is there to extract that and make those sources more viable for us than really, you know, they were just a couple short years ago. And then the last bullet here, large teams. You know, anytime you have scale, there's opportunity for improvement. So analytics is a great, you know, tool to use on top of optimizing the time that your field agents are spending, your call center agents are spending. You've got large team of, say, legal people reviewing contracts all the time. You know, let's extract information and optimize where they spend their time. We did a project for a customer in the healthcare space where they had their analysts looking at health claims. A health insurance company. Obviously, they can't look at every single claim with a pair of eyes. They don't have a team big enough. And not every claim needs to be reviewed. But, you know, how do we point them towards the claims that are potentially have issues, not necessarily fraud even, but just honest mistakes that somebody made in submitting the claim? You know, how do we point them to that? How do we optimize this team of even 100 people to focus on the things that, you know, may bring us more value than looking at simply and saying, oh, this claim's fine. I should have never wasted time looking at it. So four key areas here that hopefully are practical for everybody to kind of think through and get the gears turning.
That's great. So what are some maybe next steps people can look at doing?
Yeah, good question. So I've got four next steps. Number one, you know, we went out to the Azure portal and I clicked through under products, under machine learning to the Azure ML gallery. If you're all interested in, and this is exciting to you, go look at that gallery and see, you know, what Microsoft Research has produced, what other partners and customers are doing, and just kind of get some inspiration there. Number two, when you're ready to take that next step, you can start an Azure trial for free. You can do that at azure.microsoft.com, the site that we visited, but we don't mind helping you out. Analytics@talon.com is an alias we have for these kinds of issues. And the thing we can do also is the Azure site trial is only, I think, 30 days. There are other areas for you to get more extended, especially for a development of a proof of concept, things like that. You know, for example, if you've got an MSDN subscription, you can actually get Azure kind of on an ongoing recurring basis for your developers and those people looking to kind of start getting their toes and hands dirty with Azure. Then after that, number three, if you feel like, hey guys, let's really try to see if there's some business value in our organization to be attained from doing advanced analytics. We have an analytics readiness workshop. Basically, in this workshop, we're taking care of step one and two in the framework that we talked about. So again, you know, email us at analytics@talon.com, and we can talk about, you know, engaging and helping you kind of walk through and start your journey around that framework. And then number four, you know, we talked about the importance when we start to build those models of both putting the smart data scientists, the analytics professionals together with the subject matter experts from the business. So together we can do a hackathon, we call it. And actually, Microsoft is even making their product team available as part of this hackathon experience. So our data scientists coupled with your subject matter expertise from the business, and we're supported by Microsoft's product team, the same team that built built, you know, things like Azure Machine Learning, Azure ML, is available for us to lean on and really make the proof of concept successful. And then from there, you know, we can obviously figure out how to deploy it out to the rest of the organization, create those interfaces, the smarter search, the smarter mobile app, et cetera, that we were talking about, you know, and really get the end users to benefit from analytics without even knowing that, you know, there's analytics at work.
Wow, that's awesome. Thanks, Adam, for that. We're going to move to a live Q&A right now, but if you would like to also get contacted, there's also a button at the bottom of your screen. On the right-hand side, there's a survey button you can click in, and if you want to be contacted or you want to be followed up with, we know we went through a couple of use cases here, but it may not fit your exact use case, but, you know, Adam and his team are available to help out. I'm going to move to a live Q&A now. Maybe we're putting Kevin back online as well. Hey, Kevin, I know you've been watching the Q&A channel. You know, maybe just to kick it off here, what sort of people need to be involved in a project from the customer side to begin this? You mentioned the framework, which is great. It gives me a picture and a couple steps. But how do I begin this? What people do I need to have?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, so as we look at the framework and the steps, you know, the first one, we're identifying the business value, right? So having some subject matter experts is number one. You know, people that really, even beyond just being the subject matter experts, see maybe a frustration or an opportunity. The next group of people is going to be, you know, our data scientists. So what we see a lot, you know, in unless you're Google, Netflix, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, you know, you probably don't have a dedicated data science team. Maybe you're not even sure if you need to invest in one just yet. So instead of you know, taking a risk, this is where really you can, you know, make sense to work with a partner. Talon can help you kind of get started, get out of the gate, and as we get going, you're learning along the way. And, you know, one day you can take the reins, or you can, you know, you can use us as a partner, you know, kind of going forward. But it's really those two groups of people that really are key to this. And then on the end of it, the consumption, you know, our traditional application developers, web developers, BI developers, all those folks come in to making, you know, what we were talking about, analytics being invisible.
That's pretty awesome. Hey, Kevin, did you see any questions that might come in that you want to speak to? Or?
Yeah, one came in early on asking, the question was, is the algorithm used in the machine learning posted somewhere? We actually have a full gallery, as was as Adam mentioned earlier, that you can go explore even without having an account right now. But you can go explore, check those out, see if they work for you. They're segmented in both vertical markets, such as healthcare and manufacturing, as well as you can do contextual searches around just trying to find out if there's something available for you to that meets your need. And then you can also go and modify those once you've downloaded them or implemented them to better suit your needs if you want to play with them a bit more. So that's that was probably the biggest question asked. Another question was around Azure, just asking about how the service works. Is it an annual contract or what have you? It is a pay-for-use service. As was mentioned, you get a few dollars for free to start. If you have MSDN, you have a continuous kind of dollar stream every month to consume to play with. So those are a couple ways you can get started today.
Yeah, I think that's really neat to be able to spin up an entire cluster, be able to process all that data just to see if it'll work out and then do those experiments like you mentioned. Without having to invest a lot of capital, build up your data center to do these kind of things, right? You could just spin it up relatively quickly. I know we're running short on time here, and we covered a lot of information. So for folks, if you want to get more information again, reach out at analytics@talon.com, or you can reach out to your Microsoft account team or partner. We have technology centers around the U.S., around the globe, actually, that with our teammates that can willing to help out and analyze your particular use case and maybe your idea and how maybe we can help you get more insight out of your data that you're getting. But with that, I think we would like to, any other questions? I don't know if you saw Kevin that came in.
I do see one that's really good, and it's related to the question that Kevin was answering. So the question was, is there a way to add our own modeling logic? And so, you know, Kevin went through and articulated how the gallery's full of examples, but yeah, absolutely. So Azure ML, that notebook button, I didn't click on it, kind of just glossed over it. But in there, you've got the ability to put in your own R and Python scripts. So the tools that your data scientists are using, open source technologies like R and Python are embraced by Microsoft, and you know, you're able to plug those right into to the tooling.
Great feedback. Yeah, I think the best way to probably get a hold of Adam is probably just analytics at Talon.com. Is that correct, Adam? I just saw that question come in.
Yeah. Let's do that, and we're monitoring that alias, and I'll be sure to look for your email and reach back out.
Maybe we can put up that slide again real quickly, that last slide. I can show that so that people have that, the follow-up steps. Can we go back to that? Yeah. Thanks. So, again, if you want to get more information, please feel free to reach out at that email address. Try out the free Azure trial. And we'll be posting the presentation and the recording of this session to the same site. So if you missed this or you want to review any of that data again, please feel free to go back there. Again, we wanted to thank you. I wanted to thank Adam and Kevin for joining us today. And folks, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.